Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Anand Kul Bhushan. Kul is a writer and journalist who took sannyas in 1974. Kul worked for the UN in Vienna and has authored 24 books. During his career, he has met with numerous world leaders, including the Pope, Mother Teresa, and Muhammad Ali, never failing to mention Osho. I'm so happy to have Kul on the show, and I hope you enjoy it. Kul, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Okay, to start, tell us a little bit how you came across Osho.
It was in 1970. that I had come back from a trip to the Far East, and I visited Ahmedabad in India, and there I met an Osho sannyasin who saw my tape recorder, which I had purchased in Singapore, and said, please play this tape for me. So I played this tape, and there was Osho speaking on education. I was hooked immediately. And then I went back to Nairobi, Kenya, East Africa, where I worked as an editor in a major newspaper and wrote an article about what I had heard. So that was it. Then 4 years later, Nairobi had a sannyasin from Pune. His name was Swami Krishna. He came and people asked me to interview him. I went to see the dynamic meditation and I told him, this is sheer madness. So he says, yes, please. I said, how do you explain it? He says, let Bhagwan explain it. And he took me to the center where I listened to a tape. We listened to his tapes for many months and read many, many books. And it was very stimulating. Now, the turning point came during the safari rally. In Kenya, every year, there was a motor rally, which was part of the world championships. So the cars came from many countries, and they rallied against each other. It was over 3,000 miles of very rough roads. One night, after 12 o'clock, I came home. After working on the rally stories, switched on the tape to listen to Osho before going to sleep. And he said in Hindi that stupid drivers leave the royal highway and go on rough roads to show their ego. I said, hell, he's talking about us. So I switched off the tape recorder and I left for Pune the next day. When I arrived in Pune, I found that Bhagwan had come to Pune a few months ago on 21st March 1974 from Bombay, now called Mumbai. So he was still settling down and there were two bungalows which were occupied by Bhagwan. So for 10 days, I had a meditation camp of whirling, which I really loved from day one. And on the 10th day, I was given a darshan to meet him, and he gave me sannyas. That is my story.
And that is wonderful. So you mentioned that you came across Osho in Nairobi, where you were living at the time and working there. And then I'm aware that after you took sannyas, and maybe you can say how long you have been with Osho in India, but I know that at some point you came back home and you ran a meditation center. Yes. And I believe we're talking about the 70s. So I'd like to share with you that in my over 20 years of hanging out with sannyasin from all over the world, I have come across a very small proportion of African sannyasin. So I don't know how many there are in Africa, but I have not met that many. So how was for you to introduce Osho in Kenya back in the 70s?
When I took sannyas, my friend from Kenya who brought me to Pune said, Bhagwan, please ask him to run a center. So he gave me the name of a center in Nairobi, and he called it Prem Neet. And he also blessed me with his Charan Kamal, the lotus feet, for the meditation center. So when I came back, we had a great celebration to welcome the lotus feet. And there were already about 25 Indian sannyasins in Nairobi who formed the nucleus for our meditation group. The group grew to about 60, and my wife Ma Rashma and I managed that group from 74 to 94 in Nairobi with a weekly meeting on Saturdays. When they came, took part in a meditation, listened to the tape, had tea, and went back. And then we also had Enlightenment Day, Guru Purnima Day, celebrations in those years. Now, gradually, other people came to know, because we were wearing orange clothes and malas all the time. So they were full of satire, the people who knew Bhagwan, and said, oh, you are following the sex guru. And others wondered why we were following him. And we had to explain and bear with clarity. So we had some events, like a dinner at a five-star hotel, at which we had 200 guests to explain Osho. And at this dinner, we had a fashion show and music and everything, and talked about Osho. Similarly, we had various other events in shopping malls and other places, but they were not regular, but on and off. So that is how it remained for the next 20 years. And sometimes we had Swamis from Pune, like Swami Satyavedant. He came and visited us, and there was a lot of media coverage, and we had lots of events again. So it went on like that. And when Bhagwan moved to USA, my wife and I went to USA in Rajneeshpuram twice, in 1984 and 1986. So we went 85. We went twice to Rajneeshpuram. And some other sannyasins from Nairobi also visited Rajneeshpuram. Fine. So this is our activity in Nairobi. Even today, there is a group of Osho sannyasins in Nairobi that meets every week at the residence of a sannyasi for meditation and discourse.
Amazing. So you definitely planted some seeds. So
and the original sannyasins that I'm talking about, most of them moved to US, UK, and Canada. And I'm still in touch with most of them.
I see. Okay. So, and at that time, whilst you were running the meditation center, you also, as you mentioned before, you worked as the business editor of the biggest newspaper in East Africa. And I understand that you were quite outspoken when it comes to Osho, and you were wearing your mala and orange clothing. So how did that go? How were you received by colleagues and business meetings in full-on sannyas swing?
I had so much fun, believe me. As soon as I went back wearing orange and mala, I went back to work, and my colleagues and everybody looked at me and said, what's gone wrong with you? What happened? So I tried to explain to them. So they said, okay. And then I went out to interview top business executives. Some of them were African. And they said, what is this? They did not understand. One of them said, who is this witch doctor that you are wearing? Because in Africa, you are witch doctors. You don't have gurus. I said, well, he's a guru and I am his follower. So I explained to him. Another minister said, what are these coffee beans that you are wearing around your neck? again, I explained to him that this was a mala. So we had a lot of curiosity and good fun.
Okay. And in terms of you kind of introducing Osho's vision in East Africa, I'm wondering, you know, back then I believe that the society was quite conservative, not just in Africa, but everywhere in the world. But I would assume that in Kenya, a little bit even more compared to, say, you know, some parts of Europe or USA, etc. So have you seen any changes in the time? So how is Osho received today in Kenya compared to those days when you were one of the pioneers?
I don't know how he is perceived in Kenya because I haven't been there for the last 20 years. But the way I get some feedback from my friends is that they have begun to appreciate him for what he says, for his vision. But not many are meditating, no.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of imagining and assuming, because I think, you know, Africa has their own traditions, which, you know, quite strong, and perhaps it may take a little bit more time compared to other countries to embrace Osho. But it's nice to hear that, you know, you were there, you did a great job, and there are still sannyasins carrying on till today. Let's jump a little bit forward. And at some point in your life, you also worked at the United Nations in Vienna. And again, yes. I understand that you kept going, mentioning Osho at any opportunity, and you were sharing your views and experiences with your colleagues. And I lived in Vienna in 2006, so many years after, and found it quite conservative.
Very.
So
very.
How was your experience there in relation to sharing Osho?
I went to Vienna in 1997, and I came back in 2000. I found it a very conservative society, but I was working in United Nations. So we have a huge building called Vienna International Center where I worked. So in this building, we had people from over 100 countries because they were working all for different UN agencies. Now, in my particular agency, I worked as an editor, and all my colleagues in my department were women. That was the amazing part. And very soon they came to know that this man is a little different from somebody else. So they came to me started coming to me for advice. And one of them said, "Kul, I am a lot of tension right now. What do I do?" So we had a prayer room in this complex. So I said, "Let's go to this prayer room." So we went to the prayer room, the two of us, and I showed her how to go into silent meditation. And within half an hour, when she came back, she was totally refreshed. And she said, "Now I need coffee to get some more energy." I said, "Great." So that is how the word spread that Kul can help you with some things. So another time, a colleague's mother was very sick, and I said, "Well, let's meditate for her." And we did. And then she started to accept what was happening to her mother. So this is how I did. I was not pushing Osho aggressively there because I was doing my work. But on the side, they came to know.
I think that's the way Osho intended, I believe. You know, he never wanted people to be kind of missionaries or imposing
no,
his views.
Not. No, no. No, we are not doing this aggressive missionary selling. No way. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about Sufism, which I believe it's one of your passions. First of all, I'd love to hear how your interest for the Sufi tradition was born, and what is it about Sufism that you love?
Before that, let us get the timeline going. After Vienna, I came back to New Delhi, and I have been in New Delhi since then. So as soon as I came back to New Delhi, we started the Osho World Foundation, and the people who started the foundation were my good friends for many, many years prior to this. So they said, "Please join us." I said, "Yes, certainly." And I helped, I helped them with setting up the media part and becoming master of ceremonies for their events. And recently, I have started conducting meditation camps. So I conduct about 3 or 4 meditation camps in a year. Now, while in New Delhi, I conducted one meditation camp on dance, because Osho has talked about dance so much. So I looked up what he has said about dance. And one of the dancing meditations is whirling. Now, I had done whirling in Nairobi. Actually, my first meditation was whirling. My first camp was whirling camp in Pune. So I started whirling. I introduced whirling here at Osho Dham, and everybody liked it. At the end of whirling, when you are lying down and you are still, and you are remaining still face down for a long time, slowly and very softly, I introduce some Sufi music. Now, then there is more music, and they again start dancing with that music, which is Qawwali, which is a very Sufi music. So I became very interested in Qawwali, and here in Delhi, we have many concerts and events on Qawwali, and I go and watch them, and I read up the background of these Sufi masters, and I read Osho. He has talked so much on Sufi masters. So gradually, I became more and more interested. And Osho said, Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, is the emperor of Sufi masters. So I read more about Rumi, and I found out that he was the one who introduced whirling, and he is still the most popular Sufi master there is. And on one of my trips to Britain, I stopped in Istanbul, Turkey, to watch some Sufi whirling. And that was also very interesting and educating.
Yeah, in fact, the next question I wanted to go a little bit deeper, because I read that you visited countries like Iran, Egypt, Turkey and Sudan where you had contact with Sufi. And to find a Sufi master is almost impossible, as far as I understand, because they do not make it public. You know, Sufism is quite esoteric knowledge, which is normally transmitted by master disciple, and these people could be, you know, shoemaker or taxi driver. So I'm wondering, have you met any Sufi master during your traveling in the Middle East?
Not really, because my visits were short, and then they were sometimes coupled with my professional duties, so I did not meet. But I got to know, for example, in Sudan, which is north of Kenya, where I live. Now, Sudan is a very famous Sufi country. And I visited Khartoum, and I came to know about its history, and I was very fascinated. It's a very long story, but it is part of how the British attacked Sudan, and the Sufi master fought them. So I was very much attracted to these things. And in Iran, I went there and I became, they took me to a mosque in a small town. And I was not interested very much in the mosque until my guide said, "This is the mosque of Mullah Nasruddin." I said, "Oh-ho!" And I was very interested. And then I sent a postcard to Osho saying, "I greet you from the mosque of Mullah Nasruddin in Iran." And he wrote back, and he was very happy. So these are some of the things. And in Iran, I came to know more about Omar Khayyam. So when I read Osho, I got a whole new dimension on Omar Khayyam. And I had a camp on Omar Khayyam here. Then I had a camp on Rumi. So, and not only in Osho Dham, but in other places also, I talked about Sufism and held whirling meditation. So I love it, and I enjoy it, and I love sharing.
That's great. So I'll ask in a second to tell us more about your activities in terms of sharing Sufism, but I'd love to hear more about Mulla Nasruddin, because I actually thought it was a kind of a joke, because Osho used Mulla Nasruddin in his discourses always to make some funny jokes. So I thought it was actually not a real historical figure. It was something that Osho made up.
Mulla Nasruddin was a Sufi master, and the method by which he shared his wisdom was with these jokes and humorous situations.
And this is really nice to hear, because I didn't know. I truly believe that Osho was making it up, because he always bring Mulla to say something completely absurd and it's so funny. That was his method to work with people.
And the other thing I want to share with you is, when I had darshans with Osho, I was very relaxed, and sometimes we had great jokes with I had a great joke with Osho. I joked with Osho, actually. So once I brought a statue, a wooden carving from Kenya, made by African craftsmen, very intricate carving. It is called Makonde. So I gave him, and it was about 3 feet high and 6 inches round, and it was carved from a tree trunk. And I gave it to him, and I said, "Bhagwan, this is the representation of devil in Kenya." And he got it, and he laughed, and so did I. So he loved it. On the next visit, I brought him a coffee table book on Makonde carvings. So he loved that, because he loved some new input. And then I used to bring books about African traditions, African customs, African rituals, African tribes. And he liked them, because this was a new dimension.
Yeah, that's very sweet. Nice to hear. So you clearly had a very rich and colorful life, and you're still very much active and leading meditation events and writing and much more.
Yeah, writing articles.
So yes. Would you like to share with us what you're up to at the moment?
Yes, we started an Osho magazine here. Osho World Foundation started a magazine called Osho World in English. And it ran for 8 years, and I was the editor. It closed down a year and a half ago, and until then I was its editor. So I had great fun producing this monthly magazine. Number two, I write articles for many websites. Every article is published in maybe 6 or 7 websites, and most of the time I write about Osho and his vision. Then, of course, I conduct these meditation camps. And also, when I meet some people and I address some seminars, I talk about Osho.
So where people can find you if they want to know more about you, read your articles, or get in touch with you?
Well, oshonews.com has a lot of my articles.
Okay. Do you have your own website, just in case?
I have my website, but I have not updated it. So please...
Okay, so I'll refer to Osho News. Okay, so we are heading towards the end, and I've got 3 final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
My morning routine, one of the first things I do every morning is go out into the sunshine and thank existence for all the blessings that are in my life. I make a long list of each blessing in my life and thank existence for it. Because I believe, Osho says, being thankful is very, very important. That is the first thing I do.
And that's very beautiful, because in fact, just in the last 5 years or so, so many more people started to talk about gratitude. And there are even studies show the benefits.
Osho calls this thankfulness. Now, the second thing that I do every morning is to read 2 books of Osho quotations for that day. I have two books with Osho quotations for every day. After reading these two books for that day, I select one quotation and I share that quotation on WhatsApp with my friends. So right now, there are around 500 people who get that Osho quotation every morning.
Spreading the seeds of wisdom. That's beautiful.
But these are all Osho lovers, and some of them are my friends.
Okay. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Whirling, of course. Because whirling, I go beyond my body, beyond my mind very soon. And the after whirling is dancing, whether it is Nataraj or whether it is Kirtan. These are the two meditations which I really love.
Okay, so the last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. You are one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2019?
Celebrating life, celebrating every moment, and being thankful for all the blessings, and being stimulated by his words. That's what it means for me.
That's very nice. And I can certainly see that you are very stimulating and stimulated man. You're very vibrant and your energy level is very high, even though you're no more 20 years old. So it's
no, not at all. I feel 25 years.
I can feel that.
Thanks talking to you. I love you. Thank you very much.
I love you too. Thanks for being part of this project and for sharing your love for Osho and for sharing your story with us. Thank you, Kul. Lots of love and a big hug.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Arrivederci.
Thank you for listening to the Love Osho podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveosho.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.